Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. In fact, I'm glad you're listening if you're a longtime listener. I'm glad you're listening if you stumbled on the dial and you don't know why you're here and you have no faith to speak of. I'm glad you're here just the same, because I believe God has you here on purpose for this hour. My guest today is Rodney Bullard, and he writes this. Listen to this. He says, I believe there are heroes all around us. I believe there's a hero in each of us. We may not realize how we can change a life or two or 20 or 20,000, but the heart of heroism is inside of us, unexpected and maybe even unrequited. It awaits our awakening. As I said, my guest is Rodney Bullard, and his book is titled Heroes Wanted: Why the World Needs You to Live Your Heart Out. Isn't that a fantastic title? We'll get him on in a moment. A quick announcement. We are hard at work planning our second annual Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. We really want to provide an amazing opportunity for you if you've got a dream to be published or to take some next steps in your writing career. We've got an A-list faculty. You've probably heard that from me a lot, because I'm so proud of our faculty. I mean, amazing editors, agents, experts in the field, and we want you to join us. The conference takes place in July, but we're talking about it now because we have a limited number of one-on-one appointments, and that's really where you take the next steps. When you have a face-to-face with an editor or an agent and you pitch your idea, that's when the stuff happens. When people ask me for advice on getting published, I always say, get to a writer's conference. So we're providing you with a great conference. You can check it out on the web, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. I got to give you one more quote from my guest today before we get him on. He says, whether you're called to be a hero to those who are 3 feet in front of you or to those who are thousands of miles away, let your hero's heart lead, and then let your words and actions follow. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Rodney Bullard has spent his prolific career serving others. A U.S. Air Force veteran, Rodney currently serves as a vice president of community affairs at Chick-fil-A Incorporated and as executive director of Chick-fil-A Foundation. Prior to joining Chick-fil-A, Rodney was an assistant U.S. attorney general and a White House fellow at NASA. Wow, this guy's been around. Amazing. At Chick-fil-A, he led the startup of the organization's operational corporate foundation, where he directs community affairs, philanthropy, and community services. He lives in Atlanta with his wife and son. Rodney, what a life you've lived. My goodness. Amazing. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Susie. It truly is my pleasure to be with you today.
Well, looking forward to talking with you about your great book. And Rodney, we start every day talking scripture, and you chose a beautiful passage, 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. Talk about that passage.
Yes. You know, I think that when I think about that passage, I particularly think about my father. My father, Baptist minister, growing up here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I particularly think about how he was not a respecter of person, and how he took the time to take care of down and out men and women, but also took the time to understand and appreciate those who had means and those who did well in other aspects as well. And he taught me to use the term sir or ma'am for everybody who's older than me. And it really was a great equalizer. And so, you know, it may be a man on the street, but my father would pay attention to him. My father also would bring home men who needed a job, and he still does this to this day. And I appreciated working side by side with folks who others might discard.
You know how few people have the kind of dad that you have? I mean, that you grew up with, a man of such honor and integrity and really perspective, that he would see other people and lead you along the way so you would learn how to see people. That's unfathomable. Wow.
Yeah, I truly appreciate that lesson of nurturing, that lesson of respect.
Wow. Well, tell me this. Tell me how this book was first born in your heart.
Mm. So this book really is a labor of love. It began as many speeches and the stories that made up those speeches are now in the book. And I started to piece together the understanding of my own life and the understanding of my own journey towards leadership and what I now term as heroism. And that has been very instructional. It's been very satisfying for me. So I felt that putting it in the context of a book might also be instructional and satisfying for someone else. Mm. And so it does just that, I hope. It really is a guidebook on being a hero and also the understanding that we all have the capacity and the capability and the responsibility to be someone else's hero.
Exceptional book. It really is. And I told you off air that this is one of those now words where people need to hear it. I mean, we need a host of people mobilized to rise up and think, you know, why not me? And loved your dedication, Rodney. You said, to everyone who makes the choice to ignore division and differences to help another human being in need. This is on Rodney's dedication page. Hear it again. To everyone who makes the choice to ignore division and differences in order to help another human being in need. I love that. Can you say more?
Yes, I particularly think that that is a relevant sentiment in our current day and age. I think that I grew up in Atlanta, a city that is absolutely wonderful, and I think one of the world's greatest cities. But like many cities, we have lots of division and divide. And I can go into neighborhoods where the children in those neighborhoods don't have the same opportunities as children in other neighborhoods. And I can think that those children may not see the children in the other neighborhoods or see themselves as being able and qualified to be someplace else. And there's such division around ethnic lines, racial lines, along party lines, along all sorts of lines, that I think it's important for us to be intentional about recognizing our mutual humanity. I think it's important for us to recognize that we all can be someone else's hero. And that really doesn't mean that we do something grandiose like save somebody from a burning fire. I think that means that we recognize people that we might not recognize, such as, you know, the doorman where hundreds of thousands of people walk past him or her daily, but you speak, you recognize, you engage, and that might be a heroic moment for that person at that time.
Remember years ago, my sons are grown now, and one of my sons had just a terrible boss who found fault with him, constantly exposed him in front of people, just berated him, and I watched him just shrivel, and he was feeling like less of a man, you know, and his older brother, oldest son, grabbed him and said, you are a hero. And he said, I see you do something heroic every day. And my middle son said, well, what's that? And he goes, you go home after being beat up all day and you love your wife and you smile at her and you nurture her and you listen to her about her day. He said, that's heroic. And I could watch my boys, you know, encourage each other like that. But we can minimize those things as if they're non-issues. But those are heroic things for a husband to go home every day to his wife after working for a terrible boss. That's a heroic measure, isn't it?
It is. It is. And those measures should not be trivialized. And those measures should be acknowledged. And also it gives us an opportunity when we acknowledge them to be intentional about them. And so that story that you told about your son, and particularly also your other son was a hero as well because he recognized it, he acknowledged it, and he bolstered his brother in the sense of you are a hero, you are able, and you are more than what you're being cast as at work.
Boy, that's a really good point, that it's heroic to call the hero out of other people. And we have a lot of power to do that, don't we?
We do, without question. And in fact, you know, one of the stories in the book talks about my first grade teacher, who when I was in first grade, I had a difficult time reading. And Mrs. Adams spent an extra amount of time, in fact, an extraordinary amount of time throughout the summer after my first grade year, taking up her time. And at the time, it felt like taking up my time, too. But taking up her time to teach me to read phonetically. And at the end of the summer, I was reading two grade levels ahead of my peers. And And I say that and tell that story because, you know, it's important for me to recognize those who've been heroes to me, who've been inspirational to me, who've invested in me. But whenever I tell that story, other people also think about, well, you know what, I had a Mrs. Adams, or I had a such and such, maybe a family member, maybe a brother, maybe a sister, maybe a mother, who also invested in me. And, you know, it might have been just that conversation, just that word, just that moment that we remember. It might not have been anything bigger than that, but it was big in our own life. It was big in our own progression.
We're going to pause here. When we come back, Rodney, I want to know more about who the heroes were in your life, because you've really lived an exceptional life, and you've got, I'm sure, a lot of living to go. But when I look at what you've accomplished in your life, absolutely amazing. Right now, Rodney's Vice President of Community Affairs for Chick-fil-A. Rodney Bullard is his name, title of his book, Heroes Wanted, Why the World Needs You to Live Your Heart Out. So on the other side, Rodney, just think about that during this short break. Some of the heroes in your life. We talked about your dad. What an amazing man. Your first grade teacher. Who else? We'll be back in a minute. It's going well. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise. Talking to Vice President of Community Affairs for Chick-fil-A. His name's Rodney Bullard. He's written an amazing book titled Heroes Wanted, Why the World Needs You to Live Your Heart Out. The world needs you to live your heart out. We've got four copies. If you need a book that just inspires you and kind of mobilizes you, this is your book. You can email to get in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Heroes Wanted in the subject line. Don't forget that mailing address. And Rodney, we talked before the break about a couple of your heroes. One is your dad, who modeled compassion to the least of these right in your midst and showed you how to show respect to those, your elders, and absolutely amazing. Then you had a first grade teacher who invested in you, and it really bore amazing fruit. Who are some of your other heroes?
You know, my grandmother also was a hero for me. My grandmother in particular taught me faith and taught me the importance of faith. She would read the Bible anew every year. It was her annual pilgrimage, if you can say that. And she was also an entrepreneur at a time in which African-American women weren't entrepreneurs. She had a five and dime store in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Wow.
And that positioning, but also that juxtapositioning was powerful for me. And my grandmother always told me that I could do anything, and I always believed it. And I think that confidence, not arrogance, but that confidence coupled with humility is really important.
Hmm. My hubby and I are going through a new devotional. It's an old one, but it's new to us. It's Jesus CEO. And she writes about, she said, you know, she asked these groups that she's speaking to, how many of you have 100% confidence, you know, in yourself, and not like in your own flesh, but that Jesus is in you? So do you have 100% confidence that Christ is in you, that you can, you know, step up to anything he puts before you? How many have 75%? And most people land 50, 60, 70%. And she said, what would it take to show up to the things God's entrusted you with 100% confidence? Again, not in yourself, but Christ in you. And your grandma sounds like that kind of woman, because it is kind of more typical to take your cues from the culture of what's acceptable, what, you know, and you kind of fall in line in that way. But it takes some audacity, I think, to get vision and to rise up and say, if I fail, I fail. If I fall, I fall. But I'm going to rise up. I'm going to step out. I mean, speak to that, if you would.
No, it really does take audacity. But I also think it takes recognizing that fears are natural and normal.
Yeah, that's true.
And that you see fear throughout the Bible, and you see fear throughout history, in which great people didn't know the end result of their actions, but they moved in faith and they moved in activity regardless. And I think that that's important for us to recognize our fear, but to move past it. I talk about Rosa Parks in the book, and that, you know, on that December 1st, 1955 day, she didn't know that she was going to have an act of defiance that would change history. She didn't set out to do that, but at the moment she put aside what had to be a very fearful moment. This is a lady who was a seamstress. This is a lady who, at a time, all the cards were stacked against her and the law was against her, and she was arrested. And she, small, diminutive woman, taken into custody in 1955 Alabama, and that had to be harrowing. And so I think we have to recognize our fear. But because of what she did, not knowing the end result, we know the end of the story now, but not knowing the end result, because of what she did, it changed the course of history. It set in motion a boycott, which set in motion a civil rights movement that resulted in Dr. King being recruited to the civil rights movement.
Amazing.
And so all of that's important. We get a chance to make those decisions daily for ourselves, though.
Yeah.
And we never know how they will end up. But I do think it's important that we recognize, it can be intimidating. It can be stressful. But faith should allow us to move forward, even if there is fear within the mix.
Well, that is courageous and that is heroic. I mean, those are the people that rise up when they need to, and more, Lord, help us all be more like that. When you were a young man and you, you're walking with God, when did you first get a sense of vision and calling for your life? And does it look different now than you actually envisioned it back then?
You know, I think, I'm not sure if there was a lightning strike moment in which I have a vision or a calling. I think that culture, even the culture of development and personal development, seeps, and then it creeps, and then it grows. And I think watching my father as a minister, as my pastor, being in the church, I think watching my mother as an educator and her resilience, and my grandmother, and I think being in Atlanta and being at the feet of those who had been a part of the civil rights movement, and I think then going into the military and seeing, you know, military leaders and the self-sacrifice and the respect and the honor and the tradition, I think all of that begins to seep and to cobble together who we are. And surely it does change because our life experiences continue to mount and to add up, and we should change. We should grow. We should develop. And I hope that we grow enough callus and enough strength and enough sinew to where I can, at least in my own personal life, take on new and greater challenges.
So, Rodney, talk to me about how heroes are developed. You say there's a hero kind of hiding or, you know, inside of each and every one of us. How are they developed? How do they come out?
So I think that, you know, there is a hero in every one of us, and I think that it's developed in many ways. I wrote the book because I was trying to articulate the anatomy of a hero. And there are nine aspects of that, all beginning with C. But I think the ones that really strike out to me as the genesis of a hero are conviction and calling. And conviction is basically recognizing an issue, something that tears at your heart, something that you see and you say, you know, I have to do something about that. I can't continue to allow that to happen. Or even if you haven't gotten to the point of saying, I have to do something about it, you just say, you know what, that breaks my heart. That tears at my heart. And Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king. And when he learned of the brokenness of the wall and of Jerusalem and of his kin people, his heart was torn, the Bible says. And that was his conviction. And I think that's important for us to recognize whatever conviction, it probably won't be the same for everyone else. I love trees, but it doesn't convict me as much when people cut down a tree as when people do some other things. And so I think we have to recognize what convicts us, and then we have to answer the call, because the conviction will always give us a sense of calling, and we have to do something about that. And that something doesn't have to be radical. It doesn't have to be even something that lands on the front page or is adversarial in any way. I think that something can be small, that something can be what I call in the book, your only. We oftentimes say, well, I only have so much time. I only have so much education. I only have this or that. And I ask people to turn that on his head and say, only I can give of.
Oh, my goodness.
Only I can do this. And if we think about it in that way, then it's so much more powerful.
Hmm.
And it may not be a lot. It may just be a drop in the bucket. But that drop in the bucket, coupled with the drop in the bucket of everyone else, it fills the bucket.
Yeah. Only I. My goodness, I love that. Got about 2.5 minutes to our hard break at the bottom. So, Rodney, if you have to take this answer to the other side, please feel free. But let's get started with it anyways. But I'd love to know how God surprised you as you sought to do his will in your own life. Along the way, you look at your kind of amazing life. How, in what ways has he surprised you? You just followed him with conviction and courage.
Yes, we may have to take this answer to the next part of the break.
Okay.
But God has surprised me in every aspect. I think everything that you recount about my life going into the Air Force, going to the Air Force Academy, being at Chick-fil-A currently, all those are surprises. None of those are landing places or places in which I thought I would be. God moved in each and every one of them. And I've learned to allow God to move. And I've learned that he is a better play caller, a better orchestrator than I am, and to allow him to move. But I'm also still in the process of learning how to know when God is moving for the next thing, or when God is saying, rest and be still in this place that I have you.
Boy, that is just the ultimate juxtaposition. There's something about getting a vision and moving towards the things that God has with laser-like focus, and yet being interruptible, where he can interrupt our plans at any time. To me, that's so the essence of walking out the call, is this kind of tenacity and a flexibility, too. Would you say that's been the case for you?
Yes, absolutely. And that is a difficult balance act.
Yeah.
To be tenacious, but also be flexible, to move forward headlong, but also to be in a position where you may have to sit and be quiet.
Mm, wow, good. Talking to Rodney Bullard. He's Vice President of Community Affairs at Chick-fil-A. He's written a mighty book titled Heroes Wanted. I love this subtitle. It's one of my favorites. Why the World Needs You to Live Your Heart Out. 4 copies. Email if you want in on the drawing. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Remember to put Heroes Wanted in that subject line so we know this is the book you're going for. Don't forget that mailing address. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to make brave choices every day of your life. You can make brave choices every single day. We'll talk about that in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to Rodney Bullard. He's the Vice President of Community Affairs for Chick-fil-A, and he's written a really inspiring book titled Heroes Wanted, Why the World Needs You to Live Your Heart Out. And Rodney was saying at the open of the show that that may not be something so big as saving a life, but it may be. But really, it's the little everyday choices where you notice other human beings. You put people ahead of yourself. You love somebody. You connect eyes. You honor, respect. You give when it's in your hand to give. And I'd love for you to talk about just what it looks like, even on a practical level, to make brave choices every single day, Rodney, and just some of the ways you've sought to do that.
Yeah, so I think that we do have the opportunity every day to make brave choices. One of the stories in the book is about a good friend of mine by the name of Greg Ellison. He is a professor of divinity at Emory School of Theology, and he has his own book and movement of sorts called Courageous Conversations. And he talks about when he was 6 years old, he had an aunt Dot, and that he loved Aunt Dot, and Aunt Dot loved him. and Aunt Dot is still alive, so loves him, I'm sure. And when he was six, he asked his Aunt Dot, how do you change the world?
Amazing.
And she said, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how you change the world, but I do know that you can change the 3 feet around you. I do know that you can impact those around you that you come in contact with. And I do know that you get an opportunity in the context of your question to make brave decisions about how you're going to interact with other people. I do know that. And I think that's important for us to say that I'm going to break out of my comfort zone and I'm going to deliberately connect with someone that might be different in a place that might be uncomfortable. And I'm going to do something that I know is the right thing to do. And so we have those opportunities on a daily basis as we just walk in our walk. And as we said earlier, it could be just connecting with someone through a smile, through a word, but it also could be bigger than that. It could be mentoring. It can be, finding place and community and creating place and community where you are. And it can be intentionally looking past self to someone else.
Well, so the story of young Gregory Ellison, he asks his aunt, you know, what do I need to do to save the world? And she says, you know, change and effect change in that 3 feet in front of you. Well, there's more to that story, isn't there? What Gregory went on to do with his life and that the fact that the 3 feet challenge is actually a thing. Say more about just how that unfolded before him.
Yeah, so Greg went on to divinity school. He went to Emory for undergrad, and he went on to divinity school. He's now a PhD in theology. He went to Princeton. And now he has the 3 feet challenge, which is, in fact, recognizing those within your 3 feet. And physically recognizing them, being aware of them, because so often we can be in a sea of humanity, but be alone, be empty, be invisible. And in fact, we can be more invisible in a sea of humanity than we can when we're not in a sea of humanity. And oftentimes there are people in jobs and roles that we maybe intentionally and maybe unintentionally think less of, or at least don't think enough of to acknowledge and to even speak to and about. And so I think that's important. I think there are a number of roles like that. I think that educators and I think that janitors, and I think even folks sometimes, our team members at restaurants and people who serve us don't always and aren't always seen in the capacity that they are. And so I think that's important. And I think that Greg does talk about it in that sense of 3 feet. But I expounded upon it just a tad bit to say that, you know, we also need to recognize the issues of our 3 feet, and not just the people, but also the issues that create circumstance.
And say more about that.
And so, you know, I grew up a long-suffering Atlanta Falcons fan. I still love the Falcons to death. But as a child, I would go to the games, and I would go home, and I would go to the games, and I would go home. And so many people did that. And I never really knew that across the street there were neighborhoods that were suffering and neighborhoods where there was an opportunity to engage. And as a child, you know, arguably you could say I didn't have a great deal to engage with, and I didn't have the skills, but I did have the opportunity to be aware. And so I, as a child, looked to others to inform me, but they weren't aware either. And as an adult now, I've become more aware that, you know, right across the street from those places that we adore and we cheer and we find heroes on the field, there are opportunities to be heroes across the street as well. And so I think about my proverbial 3 feet. In some ways, it's not just 3 feet. In some ways, it's also 3 feet into my gaze, 3 feet into my awareness, 3 feet into my knowledge of there's a problem. I need to be convicted about that, or I have a conviction about that. And, hey, here's what I can do to solve that problem.
Rodney, when have you done that, where you had a plan and God interrupted your plan and you ended up walking across the street, or stooping down to talk to a man who's homeless, or would love to know just how God's interrupted your day so that you could rise up and be the hero that he wanted you to be.
Yeah, so, you know, I try to recognize everybody. In fact, I probably take it too far in trying to speak to people and say hello. Hmm. But God interrupted my day in the context of what I just told you about across the street from the stadium, the west side of Atlanta. I wasn't that familiar until I worked at the U.S. Attorney's Office, the Department of Justice. And I remember that when I became familiar, I said a quick and small prayer, God, let me help. Let me be a part of the solution here. And frankly, I didn't forget the prayer, but I also didn't keep it in the front of my mind. And I didn't forget the prayer because I didn't forget the circumstance. It wasn't so much that I thought the prayer would be activated in the way in which it's been activated. And so fast forward, I start working at Chick-fil-A, and I meet Dan Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, and he had a burgeoning passion for the West Side. And so our initial objective for the Chick-fil-A Foundation, which our mission at the Chick-fil-A Foundation and Community Affairs, is to ensure that every child grows up to be everything they were created to be.
Man, that's amazing.
It is. It's a powerful statement. It's a powerful statement when you think about what's required for every child to grow up to be everything they were created to be. It is, you need safety, you need education, you need hope, you need aspiration, you need family, you need all sorts of ingredients. Mm-hmm. And so that's important.
Mm. So you're looking at the West Side, you're with Chick-fil-A now, and it's like the prayer that you prayed prior is coming back around to the forefront, and now you're in a position to do something about it. What did you do?
So, you know, with Chick-fil-A, we have been extremely involved on the West Side of Atlanta. In fact, our most recent endeavor amongst many endeavors from education to parks to YMCA, a number of investments that Chick-fil-A has made on the west side of Atlanta. But our most recent investment from a Chick-fil-A perspective is to place a store, a Chick-fil-A restaurant, on the west side of Atlanta. When the numbers would say, well, this doesn't make sense, they shouldn't do that. It won't work. But on January 18th of 2018, a store, in fact, was opened on the west side of Atlanta. 90 people were hired, and they're working there now. And the store is doing pretty well. And it really is a testament to putting your money where your mouth is and putting your greatest asset, what you have, what only you have, there in the midst of the challenge, and to solve the problem. And so very proud and pleased of our corporate effort, of our philanthropic effort to help this community. And it's not an effort that will end with the store, and it's definitely not the only thing that we're doing there, but it's the most recent success story.
Boy, what an inspiration. That's just fantastic. Well, one of the things you write about, Rodney, is just the power in just showing up. And I think that is huge and maybe what someone needs to hear today, because we can minimize our gifts all day long. We can minimize our offering. What's this little bag of lunch going to do? But you make a point that just showing up, just being available, showing up. I mean, God can do a lot with that, can't he?
Yes, he can. Definitely did a lot with five loaves and some fish. And so he can do a lot with just us showing up. And just us and our presence, I think sometimes we underestimate that. And I think if we think back to our own lives where sometimes we've just needed somebody just to be there for us, not to talk a lot, not to do anything, but just to be there, just a listening ear, just a comforting shoulder, just a hand, just be in agreement. Sometimes if we think back to our own lives, we would recognize how powerful that's been to us, and therefore how powerful that can be for someone else.
Mm. That reminds me of the Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote that you mentioned in the book, and just I had to tweet it. It was so good. We must learn to regard people less in the light of what they do or omit to do, and more in light of what they suffer. Unpack that a bit more to help us understand it.
Yes, you know, I think we all can equate to suffering. And we all have had suffering in our lives, and we all can empathetically connect with one another because of our own suffering, but also our own frailties and our own imperfections. And it doesn't really matter what we do. Suffering, imperfection is a great equalizer. We've all felt it. We've all seen it. And obviously to greater degrees and in different ways, but that's also relative. Your suffering may impact me differently than it impacts you and vice versa. But the empathy that comes from that is really, it's our opportunity for charity, for love, and then our opportunity for community.
Indeed, amen. You know, Scripture says Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered, which is so amazing when you think about it. But if you're as much as you're able and comfortable, what have you learned from the things you've suffered over the years, Rodney?
I've learned patience, and that's a hard lesson to learn sometimes. I've learned that God doesn't always give us what we want. And I've learned that even though he doesn't always give us what we want, and sometimes storms come, he does give us enough to weather the storm. He does give us enough, if we are listening, to learn from the storm and to be stronger, and that we can, in fact, with his guidance and through his strength in us, we can stand up to any test. That's a lesson that you have to be reminded of daily, though. So I don't want to give anybody the impression that I have that figured out any more than any other person. And I also think that's important, that we have to give ourselves enough self-love and enough self-license to say, yeah, I'm still working on that.
That's right.
And yes, I get it, and I understand it from a conceptual standpoint, but I'm still working on it from a heart standpoint.
I could not agree with you more. You know, I'm thinking a lot lately as I just grieve over the rant. You know, I'm just, everybody's so tired of the shaking the fist back and forth, and especially from Christians, there's no excuse. I'm just shaking their fist at the darkness. You know, it's not productive at all. But I think sometimes those places come from fear. And I'm wondering if we would have more compassion for other people if we knew how to exercise some self-compassion. But it seems like the lack of love goes both ways, where there's an inner self-contempt and it's being spewed on other people. I mean, that's kind of a heady topic, but I just think if we could maybe be kind to our soul and see that Jesus is tender with us, we could in turn impart something that God has entrusted to us. What do you say?
No, I couldn't agree with that more, frankly. I think it's interesting. I got a chance to talk to a number of young people who were watching the movie Black Panther for the first time here in Atlanta. And one of the things that I said was that, you know, every superhero has a secret weapon, and that our secret weapon is love. And that it starts with love for self. You know, every superhero movie has this controversy, and then there's this awareness that the superhero gets that they have a superpower, or that their superpower is enough. And at some point they have to love themselves so that they can exercise whatever power they have. And so I do think that loving ourselves is so important because it does show up on the other end of the spectrum. It shows up in how we treat other people, how we judge other people, and how we view other people. And I think that's part of conquering division and divide.
Amen. And one last thought before we take a break here, just thinking as Rodney's talking, maybe the most heroic thing, your next heroic thing that you do today, friend, is be kind to yourself and forgive yourself, because the enemy would love nothing more. If you feel like you've gone too far and you've blown it, just to sit and berate yourself as if that's somehow noble, as if that's somehow bringing pleasure to God's heart because you're punishing yourself. Well, Jesus was punished already. So what if you come under his mercy and you get up again and you say, you know what, God's not finished with me yet? That might be the most heroic thing you do today, and it would be hugely heroic because God's not finished with you. And as Rodney says in the subtitle, the world needs you to live your heart out. Rodney Bullard is his name, title of his book, Heroes Wanted. We'll be back in a minute. take another step. Sometimes that's the most heroic thing you can do. You keep going, even though you want to give up. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Vice President of Community Affairs for Chick-fil-A, Rodney Bullard, in the title of his book, Heroes Wanted, Why the World Needs You to Live Your Heart Out. I love this quote. You said, finishing well as a hero is not about finishing first. It's about reaching the cross with those God has called us to care for, shepherd, mentor, and love. Wow. Finishing well is not about finishing first. Say more about that, if you would.
Yeah, the Bible says that we all, there's room at the cross for all of us. Mm. And so, therefore, it's not a race. It's not, and if it was a race, you know, it's not a race in the same way that we would think. You know, I think two things I've learned, and to some degree in recent years. One, there's a difference between success and excellence, and success is a competition between us and others, and excellence is a competition with ourselves. And I definitely learned that from a friend of mine at Chick-fil-A, and appreciate that distinction. And I also have, in spending time with young people, or people younger than me, seen that because of this me society, that there are 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds who feel like they are completely inadequate because they aren't internet billionaires and they haven't done X, Y, and Z by X, Y, and Z age. And I think that that is something that we have to be aware of, and that will be defeating in our quest to be in our quest to be excellent, in our quest to help other people, in our quest to be more. And I think we have to be very mindful that if we are really about helping other people, that it's not a competition. We shouldn't be competing with anybody to do good, but it really is a noble calling, and it's our responsibility as we do well to do good.
Well, you know, that's a really important word that I don't want to leave too quickly here, because competition, I mean, I'm as competitive as the next gal as far as love to get on my bike and ride fast. My hubby and I go up for a bike ride, and somehow I end up winning because I'm competing. And he's like, we're just out for a ride, honey. But so I know that's in me, you know, but it does break my heart when I think of competition between churches or competition between mercy ministries, because that's not the kingdom. That's building our own kingdom. It's not building the kingdom. And such a difference between having a vision for where God's taking you and having a sense that outcomes are all in his hands, and we don't compete with each other. We're working together because the work exceeds the worker. So I'd love for you to speak about that idea of having a vision for your own personal call, but knowing absolutely that it's part of a huge part of that is helping others fulfill their call.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and competition is important and has its place. You know, I work for a company that definitely competes with others, but there is within our calling a space to be excellent and to be responsive to God, and that is important, that we are not competitive in the manner in which we do that. And it's important that we are right-minded in the manner in which we do that. And it's also important for us to know that at the end of the day, that's that purpose, that's what matters, and that is what's going to satisfy us. That's what we will likely remember as we end our days. And that is what will endure, and that's the return on investment that will continue to give and give. And so as a whole, we all build the wall, and each one of us has a piece of the wall to rebuild and to build.
I think I know how you're going to answer this, but I just have the question just the same. But in a day where feelings and perspectives on Christians is cooling significantly, and Chick-fil-A being just bold, kingdom people, kingdom organization, what kind of opposition do you face, as much as you're able to share, and how do you negotiate and navigate that?
Yeah, I don't pay that much attention to what some might term as opposition. I frankly don't see anybody as opposition. I see everybody as a potential customer,
love
and
that.
B, as humanity, and as someone that we can, should, and will treat with honor and dignity and respect. And so there Yeah, there really isn't a thought of us versus them or opposition.
Love that.
The thought of everybody.
Wow. I'm so inspired. Well, we just got a couple minutes left. Well, tell me, since as the Vice President of Community Affairs for Chick-fil-A, what are some of the initiatives that, I mean, you're working on the West Side. What are some of the things you've been especially proud of, fond of, grateful to be able to do?
Yes. So I'm really proud of, you know, all the work of those who are working, volunteering, and giving to the Chick-fil-A Foundation. And really, that's all of Chick-fil-A, and that's the leadership of Chick-fil-A on down, and I'm really pleased to be a part of that effort. And that has included, yes, the work on the west side of Atlanta, but it's also included increasing our scholarship program to what I believe to be one of the best scholarship, if not the best scholarship program in the country, which I think is important that we take care of our team members from a Chick-fil-A perspective as well. And so that's important. That's key that those team members are feel invested in, that they are invested in, and that they have an opportunity to return the investment through education. Also very pleased that we were able to help over 5 million families this past year in various different ways. And one of those ways is through junior achievement and financial literacy. Over 296,000 children this past year went through a program that we, Chick-fil-A, supported through junior achievement. And so very pleased with that. And also pleased, finally, with our leadership programs that are in high schools throughout the country, in 700-plus high schools, teaching leadership. And not only teaching leadership, but then requiring those students to come up with a give-back program where they exercise what they've learned by giving back to their community, by finding something that convicts them and giving back to it. It might be we recognize the seniors in our community, the senior citizens in our community. They need somebody to spend time with them, and therefore we solve that issue. We spend some time with them.
I'm so completely inspired. I don't even know what to say. And at the level at which you're doing this is just phenomenal. Friends, pray for Chick-fil-A and for Rodney. Rodney, as we wrap, would you pray for that person listening today who feels invisible but wants to be used by God? Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Thank you, Susie. Dear Lord, we come together to pray for those who feel invisible, feel as if they're insignificant, feel as if they are less than. But we ask you, Lord, you please bless them to know that they are great, that they are mighty, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that they can do anything through you, and that there is a hero, not just lurking, not just in the shadows, but there bursting and alive in them, and that they have something to give to someone else. And as they give it to someone else, they will feel even more emboldened and even more alive. We pray these and other blessings in your son's name, we pray. Amen.
Rodney Bullard, you are a superhero. Thank you for the time today. It's just been fantastic.
Thank you. It's truly my pleasure.
Honored to have you with us today. Rodney Bullard, Vice President of Community Affairs for Chick-fil-A. Title of his book, Heroes Wanted, Why the World Needs You to Live Your Heart Out. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. For listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.